Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And I don't want to get this wrong, so let me couch it by saying this is sort of in the neighborhood. But they were talking about how far away these planets are, and it was however many, like 44 light years or something, which is like 240 trillion miles. Of course, we can't travel the speed of light yet.
Not yet.
So some science geek who I was listening to said, like, if you got on an airplane out of Kennedy, I don't know if it matters if it's Kennedy or Dulles, LAX, frankly, because you're going a very long way.
Well, I don't know, you know.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then, plausibly live from an as-yet-undisclosed location on the third floor in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We're on the air with Chris Saliza, Gary Braun, Michael Kornheiser. Nigel's going to run the board and do the news. Michael Wilbon will join us in a little while. Normally on a Monday, we would start talking about sports things that happened over the weekend. We're not. We're going to talk about the Oscars. First of all, and I think this is the best thing that happened last night, for me personally, Ezra Edelman won. The O.J. Yep. Made in America documentary, the impossibly long documentary. I have not seen all of it yet. Please let me know if you've seen all
it's
of it.
It's still actually being produced.
I'm sure it's great.
It's not over.
But Ezra, out of Sidwell Friends High School and Yale University, Ezra Edelman.
Hard streets there.
Yeah, Ezra won, and we are so happy for Ezra, because there was a chance of a backlash, and the backlash would have been this, that people voting on a motion picture would have said, too much O.J., the hit series on a regular television. We're not going to do too much O.J. It's too long. It's made for television. It's not really a motion picture. It's made for television, and so we're not going to vote for it. Happily, those things did not happen, and Ezra won. Ezra is a footnote, and would have been a footnote anyway. The documentary award is a footnote anyway to the larger points to be made about the Oscars, and so we will get into that. I just wanted to lead off by saying, and I don't know how many of you people get the local paper here, but the fella in the local paper here, he hates La La Land. He just hates La La Land. I want to get to this because I want to quote it accurately. He's really happy Moonlight won. I don't know what his problem is with La La Land, but he called it a vacuously irritating musical. It's really good, okay? La La Land is really, really good. I'm just saying that. That's my opinion, not his opinion. The headline story of the night.
That's a lot of people's. It won 6.5 Oscars or whatever, whatever you're going to give it, right?
It was going to win.
Seven-ish.
It was announced that I was not awake for this. In the largest event of the Oscars, Best Picture, everything else is nice. Best Picture is going to the bank. Okay, this is important. You win Best Picture. Big deal. It was announced by Warren Beatty, actually by Faye Dunaway.
That's right.
And I assume this is in celebration of Bonnie and Clyde. I assume that's why they're
50,
up to 50
years.
Yeah. Bonnie and Clyde. By the way, Bonnie and Clyde, better than La La Land, better than Moonlight, better than them together. Bonnie and Clyde, one of like the 20 greatest movies of all time. Anyway, it's announced as Warren Beatty looks obviously perplexed.
Perplexed is the right word. He does a double take quite clearly
perplexed.
In real time.
Reticent to read what is on the envelope.
That is right.
Right. And he gives it
what are we doing out there,
it's
man?
It's so
and
true.
Faye Dunaway, like, what do you, what? And so he hands her the card and she goes, La La Land. And there's no question that La La Land is printed somewhere on that card.
Yeah.
But apparently, and this is the part, and I'm glad Chris is here, because anybody who writes about politics has to be aware of conspiracies all the time. And by the way, when something is leaked, who does the leaking benefit? You have to be aware of that. It is said by the famed Price Waterhouse Coopers, whatever their names are, that do this stuff all the time, that Warren Beatty was handed the wrong envelope. Because what Warren Beatty said was, my envelope said, Emma Stone, La La Land.
That has been confirmed.
That's confirmed.
Close-ups of the envelope blown up, you can see it says Best Actress on the outside of the envelope.
So it's not just to embarrass Warren Beatty or Faye Dunaway. People...
I like that you immediately jump to the old conspiracy.
Oh, right, the old
they're trying
people.
To embarrass the
get
olds.
The old people off the stage.
I did wonder initially when I heard, was it a bit? And my guess would be if you I didn't watch it live, but if you watched it live, I think they had to say this is not a joke like two or three times, because you always wonder whether, I mean, it would be weird to do that bit. It, that seems like a strange one, but I am always in that range.
That would be a
like,
strange bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
did you see it live?
I did see it live. Oh. If you've seen the entire 2.5 minutes, which I assume you guys have, yeah. I'm sure you had the same reaction, but watching it live, they get up, man, what's that like? I mean, some of those people will never win an Oscar. And there they were up there holding it.
That's right.
You know, they're up there holding it.
Right. Huge deal.
So they're up there and they're doing the speeches. And in the background, there is definite commotion to the point where I'm saying to my wife, what's going on there? You know, you wonder if like there's some streak or something. You see people who are clearly people who should not be on camera. You know, they're on the headsets.
They're looking for Charles Oakley.
They're running around.
They're going to get Oak. They're going to drag Oak out of there.
And one of the producers, I forget which one it was, you know, says a few words, and another guy saying a few words, and then the original guy just comes up and says, you know, there's been a mistake. Moonlight, you've won.
Right, yeah. He looks at him and says, you've won.
You know, takes a card,
yeah,
shows
and
a card.
Says, no, you know, it's not a joke. And Kimmel's there trying to sort of figure out how to kick save it, but it was
so
sort of unsavable.
So it's not Steve Harvey.
Correct.
No,
although that's immediately where Kimmel went.
I think the error is clearly on the part. What I read is they have duplicate envelopes. There are two sets of each one of those envelopes, and someone handed Warren Beatty.
Deliberately? Do we have any idea?
We don't know
well,
that.
Well, that's harder to know, right? But handed him the wrong one.
But, you know, typically you come up to receive your award, you're handed the Oscar, and many times the presenter will also give you the envelope as a keepsake. But I guess there's obviously a Pricewaterhouse person in the background sort of double-checking. You know, they have the master list. Otherwise, how would you know?
I know human error happens. I get that. But it's not as though they're giving out 450
right.
awards that
it's
night.
Not the Grammys.
I mean, there's like 14 total awards.
And not only that, there was, I think, a commercial break right before that award.
Right. I mean,
they've
like,
done the best actor and actress. They go to break. They come back.
Warren,
maybe we should double check.
Yeah, let me see the envelope. No, that's the wrong one. Let's fix it.
Right. I mean, it's
you know,
says,
you know the greatest envelope thing ever, of course, is Patrick Ewing.
Patrick,
is Patrick
right.
Ewing, where it was said that they froze.
The frozen.
And that DeBuscher reached in. Felt for something cold and got Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
The irony is they never won a title with Patrick Ewing, but that's the envelope
Cheaters
story that sports people think of the most.
Apparently, and I don't remember this, obviously, but Tony, you might, is that Sammy Davis
they
read
said
the wrong...
This.
You remember that? That
no.
Sammy Davis announced the wrong...
No,
that was a song, no. I think.
I don't remember
right?
that.
It wasn't like Best Picture.
I was
telling you, Tony, before
yes,
the
this
show...
Yes, this is a great story.
That apparently, when Marissa Tomei won for My Cousin Vinny, and I want to say like 1991...
She's lovely. It's an okay
right.
movie.
But it sort of came out of nowhere.
Right.
Well, apparently there's this legend in Hollywood that Jack Palance, who was reading the winner, couldn't see or was drunk.
Drunk.
And like didn't bother to... Couldn't
oh,
read the name
great.
On the envelope. So he just looked up at the teleprompter and Marissa Tomei was the first name that he saw. So he just said, Marissa Tomei.
It's fantastic.
And everyone just went with it.
If true, it's fantastic.
Right.
Well,
she
you
had
go
to,
with it because only five people are nominated.
Right.
You figure anybody
right.
can win.
But she had to defend... Like she was on Saturday Night Live being like, look, I know these rumors are out there, but I actually did win. So,
Tony, you said when there's any time something like this happens, you know, you look at sort of, well, who benefits?
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And who does? I mean, I see who's hurt by this.
Oh, I don't know.
But I don't know that anyone benefits.
Because Moonlight doesn't get the time or the like moment.
Right.
But
it's
La La Land
a
is a total dagger.
Yeah. Yeah.
You basically
it is.
Think you've
yeah.
won.
It's yeah. Like
Malcolm Butler up there.
Yeah. I think Manchester by the Sea benefits. You can give your heart ripped out. So it was I will say this about I like Jimmy Kimmel a lot.
I thought he did a good
job. I thought the beginning with Justin Timberlake was great.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's the best.
That
he's
to
so
me
good.
Was the echo of the beginning of La La Land.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah,
what that was.
Like a ripoff based
big,
on what I've read.
Big production
I
number.
I hate how much I love Justin Timberlake.
Well,
yeah.
What's wrong with Justin Timberlake?
He's like handsome, funny. He seems relatively
He's also what
humble.
Is he a one or a two?
I think he's a 4 or 5, but he's a good golfer.
He's good
and
player.
He's good at basketball. I've seen him play pickup basketball. Yeah. He's a good basketball player, too. I really hate that guy. And
no,
I hate him how much I love him.
Yeah. He's very likable.
Yes.
likable.
Totally
winning. And I thought that Kimmel did a really good opening monologue. It stayed, you know, pretty much straight down the middle. But the thing he did with Matt Damon and with Meryl Streep, that was wonderful. Meryl Streep played along so well.
I liked it.
About her being overrated, the Trump tweet. I mean,
and the Damon thing he just did throughout the entire show. But well, I liked it. They're chummy.
They like
their
each other.
You know what I was actually pleased to see? And the one time it was done in earnest, which was the Iranian director who won the Best Foreign Language Film, it was actually much fewer political statements than I expected, which was nice.
I thought there'd be more.
I know where they all stand. I don't need to see and hear.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Matt Drudge, who's, you know, a very big voice in the conservative right, has said, like, the most political Oscars ever. And, I guess I didn't watch till the very end, but it doesn't seem like the very end was
I don't think they were that political. No?
I watched
Viola
Davis' speech.
She's great. She makes speeches. No.
Yeah. Marginally. Okay. How long did that go on for, though? The poor, sound editing guy gets 13 seconds.
Viola Davis is my third. I came in here this morning before we went on.
They're the only people who live
I called
lives.
Three in a row. I've called three in a row. I said when I saw Jared Leto that I said it before all the movies were nominated.
Right.
Said he will win.
Was he playing Casey Affleck last night?
Yes. Jared Leto, yes. I said Mark Rylance last year. Nobody had heard of this guy.
No.
Was that
Bridge of Spies?
Bridge of Spies.
Yeah,
I came in, I said to you, this
you
is the winner.
You did say that. Yeah.
This is the winner.
Yeah, you and said I he'd saw wear fences. That hat this year.
I didn't say wear the hat. I saw fences, and I said to you, she wins. She wins. Viola Davis is so great in that.
Is she?
It's a stage play. And she's great. She's played it a million times, and she's played it great. And she also makes wonderful speeches. So I
by the way, Anne got them all right, if you give her La La Land. For 2.5 minutes, she had them all right.
She had the actor and the actress and everything?
She had Affleck, Stone, Ali, Davis, Made in America, and La La Land.
Wow.
That's really good. That's pretty good. So what do we
biggest takeaway was, and I heard this on Twitter a lot last night, a lot of disappointment that Ezra didn't La Cheeseria it.
Oh, you know, that really would have been the moment.
How would you like
swing and a miss there?
So you're up there. You're La La Land. You're one of the 30 people
it's
who's up
such
there.
A dagger.
And you have to give it back.
Watch the video.
Do you think you
it back?
Do you think one guy just sort of stuffed it down his trousers? And says, I don't know where mine is.
Just
well, if you watch from the back to
backstage,
the front,
they put your name on it backstage.
So what you're saying is they can take that away from you now.
They can.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah,
it's so brutal to watch the video because you can see basically what happens is from like back to front they start telling people.
Down.
They start going through, you know, La La Land.
You didn't win, get off the stage.
Emma Stone,
you didn't win,
Emma
off the
Stone
stage.
Is like,
you didn't win,
oh, my God. I mean, you can see her mouth it. Because as it moves forward, because they're like, you didn't win.
Yeah.
I mean,
sorry.
It's like you said, Tony, it's not like best sound mixing.
No, this
it's
is
the big one.
It's the one. This is the big one.
The one.
This is, and I mean, I would have voted for La La Land or Hell or High Water. And I wouldn't have voted for
I would have put it down my trousers and ran to Nigel's point.
I believe that the person who is in a position to be totally torn is Emma Stone. She wins. And that's great for her. But I also believe that when you make a movie and you're a star in a movie and you're doing this for 3 or 4 months of your life, that you develop relationships with the other people in the movie that you see every single day.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you really want – I think it's great if you win, but you want them to win too. You really want them to win too. And I think if you're Emma Stone at 1 in the morning, it's not the complete win that you thought
MVP
it was.
MVP on a losing team.
And if you're Ryan Gosling, you're laughing because you didn't win. Good. None of them won. Good.
This is PricewaterhouseCoopers just put a statement out. We sincerely apologize to Moonlight, La La Land, Warren Beatty, Faye Dunaway, and Oscar viewers for the error that was made during the award announcement for Best Picture. Now, this sentence is amazing. Listen to the obvious.
Honestly,
it's
what
so
the
true.
Are we doing here?
The presenters had mistakenly been given the wrong category envelope, and when discovered, was immediately corrected. Wow. We are currently in. What does that mean?
It wasn't immediately corrected.
We are currently investigating how this could have happened and deeply regret that this occurred. But what is that? What is that second part? What's the second sentence mean?
It wasn't immediately corrected.
They were
corrected.
They were three
2 minutes.
Deep,
two minutes of running around.
Yeah. Into victory speeches.
Ask the people from La La Land if that was immediate.
Does it
Trump?
Does it help? I think it helps both movies if they're re-released. I think you want to go see them.
Sure.
I think it will help. I think Moonlight probably made $1.5 million.
It made $20 million total.
I believe it'll
it
make
very
it'll double
low
that.
Budget.
I believe it'll double that.
It probably made more than it cost, but I mean, it made nothing.
By the way, another stunner for me: the woman who plays the mother in Moonlight, who plays the crack addict mother in Moonlight. British. I had no
yes.
idea.
Yes. Well, we all are.
Sorry. I had no idea.
By the way, there was one, I just want to share one small moment that stuck out to me. It was one of the early awards, and sound editing or something like that, where there's like six guys up there, and one guy gave the whole acceptance speech, but I think the other guys on stage were like, okay, now we get to go?
No.
And the guy goes up to the microphone, and the music's playing him up. He's like, sorry.
Did you see when they brought the muscle out for the one guy? There was one guy, he just kept talking, they brought a guy out, he's just like pushing him. It was beyond just the music.
Yeah. By the way, Moonlight. Estimated budget of $5 million to produce that movie, which
right,
is
so
nothing.
That's amazing.
And if you are, and two big winners, Chazelle, who gets any movie he wants, and Ezra obviously gets any movie he wants, and Barry Jenkins.
Yes.
He gets to do whatever he wants next.
Damien Chazelle, so that's Whiplash and yep. La La Land.
And he's
that's
32.
A pretty nice run.
And he's 32 years
old. Went to Harvard.
With Pablo.
Jerk.
Pals.
Kimmel was pretty funny on him. Did you see that in the open?
Yes.
Like
yes.
if he wins, yes. he'll be able to go to any college he wants
yes,
to.
Yes, he's a kid. He's a kid. All right, we'll take a break. Michael Wilbon, when we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. Everybody here has Harry's razors. Everybody here is happy with Harry's razors. I have the orange handle Harry's razor. I use this 5 days a week, not on the weekends. No. 5 days a week I use it, so I really like it. Harry's was started by two guys, Jeff and Andy, who were fed up with being overcharged for razors, so they decided to start their own razor company to give guys everywhere what they deserve, a great shave at a fair price. They bought a factory with 100 years of blade-making experience so they could make their own high-quality razors, sell them online, and ship them directly to you for half the price of the leading brand. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. There are five German-engineered blades. There's a lubricating strip. There's a flex hinge for a comfortable glide. There's a trimmer blade for hard-to-reach places. And there is a weighted ergonomic handle, again, mine in orange. All this for $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more that you will pay at a drugstore. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades. They want you to try their most popular trial set for free. This is free. It comes with a razor handle of your choice, five-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. It's free when you sign up. All you have to do is pay a small fee for shipping. So to redeem your trial offer, go to Harry's, HARRYS.com/Tony K right now. That's Harry's.com/Tony K.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Bruce Blaylock. And his band is called The Beat Hotel. He lives in Chevy Chase. His band is playing at the Hamilton tomorrow night, the Fat Tuesday Mardi Gras party, along with the award-winning Marsha Ball and her band. People here are invited if they want to go. Not people here in this room are invited if they want to go. Others are going to have to pay the freight. It's a New Orleans band. It's awfully good. The Beat Hotel. Playing in Michael Wilbon. What you had... I know you traveled over the weekend, and I know you watched a basketball game, but I wondered if you watched – did you watch anything else this weekend? A lot of sort of minor things happened, nothing major, but did you watch anything?
I watched golf yesterday.
Me too.
So I watched Ricky Fowler finish. I'm glad he did. It's amazing. The guy
I
has
thought
a
he
lot
was
of
gonna
popularity
gag.
And a lot of buzz to have won only three times going into yesterday.
I thought he was going to gag.
Well, I'm glad he didn't.
Because when he hit it in the water.
The lead was too big. And the other people were gagging, too, because other guys were hitting it in the water. So there wasn't much gag room. But I watched a little bit of that. But no, Tony, when you're flying to California and back, there's not a lot of time for watching stuff. I'm not a big watch stuff on the plane person. I might if I'm on United where they have DirecTV. Sometimes I can sit and watch sports as if I was at home because you got a lot of the same channels. But no. I had a game Saturday night and a function, an alumni function in Los Angeles as well. And so, no, there wasn't a lot of watching for me this weekend.
Well, let me tell you some of the things that happened. I'm just going to start with college basketball. Because as happens every week this year, and it does happen every week, ranked teams lose every single week. But Duke lost. Duke went to Miami, lost. It's two in a row for Duke. Both on the road, they lost. Maryland, a ranked team, lost at home. Gonzaga, which we both thought, at least I thought, would be the number one overall seed. They lost at home to BYU, which you called, but the other way a month ago.
Yeah.
Arizona lost at home, Wisconsin lost UCLA. On the road. Cincinnati lost. I mean, teams, ranked teams lose all the time, which leads to this. If you were doing the bracket now, I forced you to do the bracket now, who would your four number one seeds be right now?
Gonzaga, North Carolina. I would, I guess Oregon. I'm not going to have a second ACC team with number one.
I assume you'd put Villanova.
Oh, Kansas,
in. Kansas. Well, then you leave.
Either Villanova or Oregon. I guess Villanova. So
right.
Gonzaga, Villanova, North Carolina, and Kansas.
Okay, so this is interesting because at Gonzaga, we sort of agree that the body of Gonzaga's work. I don't think they will make the Final Four. That's just me. But we think the body of Gonzaga's work merits a number one seed. So when you do that, because you have to have Kansas at the moment, and you probably have to have Villanova at the moment, and I know you want UNC. When you do that, the odd conference out almost automatically becomes the Pac-10, which, for all I know, is almost as good, better than everybody else, and
maybe
almost as good as the ACC.
Right? And we'll also have a chance to see, you know, this week, this last week of the regular season, we'll have a chance to get a better grip on that. And other teams are still, you know, it's carnage out there.
Yes,
and
they lose every week.
Yeah, and so I think that's demonstrating what men's college basketball is. That this is what it is now. And I'm glad I wouldn't have to fill out those four number one teams. I think this week Tony can throw that into some upheaval again.
Yeah, my sense of this is always this. That it matters less what you do in your conference tournament unless you need to win it. It matters less what you do than what you do leading up to your conference tournament because you're playing 16, 18 games against pretty good competition. It's tough to win on the road.
I would throw in. I don't. They have too many losses to be a number one seed. But UCLA, I watched UCLA Arizona game.
This is what I want to get to. UCLA
looked really.
They
good.
Beat Arizona at Arizona.
And Tucson, yeah.
That's a big deal.
Well,
so
again, that's why the Pac-12. I got to see them. I got to see it this week, and I will watch. I will watch those games. You know, each one of those teams has two games left.
Yes,
and I want to watch and see how they finish up.
So I'm going to take advantage of the fact that you've gone to Los Angeles because I can't. I can't even imagine that UCLA isn't a big story there. And so how good, in fact, is Lonzo Ball? And how good, in fact, is UCLA?
Well, Tony, it's interesting. You know, being in L.A. as I have been now for, I don't know, five of the last 6 weeks or so.
Yeah.
It's a big story. And it's interesting talking to people who grew up or spent so much time in L.A. The two people I'm talking about now are Irvin Johnson, who started off the season watching UCLA just as a fan.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it was funny because he told me a story last week about how his wife, Cookie, comes in and says, hey, we got to talk about so-and-so, and the UCLA game is on, and Matthew says, honey, no, now this is work.
Now
this is work. He's got a notebook out, and it's a different deal. So, but listening to Magic, whether it's fan or executive, talk about UCLA, he thought they were really good from day one. He thought they'd be really good. And then the other day, the second person, another Los Angelino, who's watching them with great interest from growing up there, is Paul Pierce, who, of course, didn't stay home to go to UCLA with the Kansas, but watches them nonetheless like a hawk. And, you know, I said to Paul Pierce, wouldn't you block every shot Lonzo Ball takes? As a guy who is about the same size, a little bigger than Lonzo Ball.
And it starts from his waist.
Wouldn't you block every shot? And Pierce says, no. He says, I think that this kid has got, I look at him and he looks like a stud. Pierce, this is Saturday night we're having this conversation. And he said, no, I think Ball is the real deal. I think he's the guy who would be the number one pick. I think he is everything he's made out to be so far. And I understand the concerns about his shot. And literally we break down, Paul Pierce breaks down the shot. We're watching it, Tony, as it in live time. And Pierce says, you're absolutely right to think this way because the shot comes ultimately from the left side of his head, and he's right-handed. And Pierce, literally in real time,
He flips it with his wrist. It's a wrist shot.
A wrist shot. When you've been in the league 20 years, you go to the Hall of Fame, you can see somebody's shot and in real time decide what you think of it. It matters. And so people have these sort of differing opinions of him. But they love UCLA out there. Again, Magic and Paul Pierce, neither of whom went there. But watch, you know, I mean, watch with both the precision of Hall of Fame players and avid fans. They think that UCLA is really, really, really good.
Okay, so here is a question. I mean, you're able. You're the Los Angeles Lakers. You have the ability, perhaps, to draft Lonzo Ball. He's a local kid. I don't know if they want to do that or not. Last time I looked, they did not have a point guard, and he will remind people of a combination of Magic Johnson and Jason Kidd. So, I mean, he's going to be high up on the board. His father has made a lot of statements, and, you know where I'm going, Mike. Is it a problem if you're the local team and you draft a kid whose dad is out there and producing basketball players like this and running his yap all the time? Is that something that worries a pro team, the influence of the dad?
It depends on how good the player is.
Mm-hmm.
It worries you if you're Todd Marinovich's dad.
Yeah.
It doesn't worry you as much if you're Tiger Woods' dad.
Because Tiger is better.
Because you produce.
Yeah.
And the question is, so we go back, Tony, to how good is the kid?
I don't know.
We're going to find out. I mean, we're going to find the pressure of the tournament is going to tell us, I think, how good this kid is. And the father, he seems like, now, people out there, again, I've spent a lot of time in L.A. lately, they think that the father is, well, I'll give you another father who it wasn't a problem for. Venus and Serena. Now, it might have been a problem for them because
yes.
You get sick of your old man.
And it was a problem for him.
It was a problem for him, but not in terms of production.
No, they produced.
So what now, and people out there compare him often to Richard Williams.
Okay.
In that he's entertaining, people have gotten to know him. They think that usually he's a guy that is a good storyteller to be around, and you can't listen to him when it comes to his kid.
You know what's fascinating is ESPN was billing very highly that LeVar Ball, I believe, is the dad,
yeah.
That they were going to do an interview with him at the under-16 timeout, after the under-16 timeout in the game.
And?
So it never happened?
Never happened.
Okay.
And he must have kiboshed it. Because, I mean, they were billing it, come back, you're going to want to hear this, because he had just said
Better than Curry. Yeah.
He had said the thing, he'll only play in L.A. That was on Saturday.
Oh,
on
right.
Saturday. So it was leading up to that you have to see his interview, and then all of a sudden, nothing.
It's also, Wilbon, don't you think it's a little different? I mean, you mentioned Earl Woods and Williams. I mean, those are individual sports.
Individual,
I think RG3's dad here, like, that was an issue.
Well, it was an issue because he didn't produce.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Well, hang on. He produced
also,
in
he's
that
around
first year.
The team. It's because you're around. There's a team dynamic. An individual sport, you can do pretty much what you want.
That's right.
And a team dynamic, you have to worry about your teammates.
Yes, and when you're on a team and someone outside of the team but in your familial circle is shining the light on you all the time.
That could be bad.
It can rub people the wrong way. But you know what? It doesn't rub the wrong way if you average, you know, in your rookie year. If you come in, wouldn't have mattered. Yeah, I know he didn't do this. But I'm just going to just if Irvin Johnson's dad had a big mouth, he did not. If he had had that before he goes off and plays on the Lakers, you think it would have mattered? Would it have ticked off Kareem? Of course it would have. Would it have mattered? No, because he produced at a level that no rookie had ever produced.
Right.
So, no, so I think this is bottom-line oriented.
He's not JaVale McGee.
No, that's
where it matters.
Right.
Where it matters.
That's right.
Although Allen Iverson's mom was a distraction, but Allen Iverson was too great a player.
A distraction.
All right, so let me get to this because you're out there and because your good friend is now taking over the Lakers. Mitch Kupchak was canned.
Mm-hmm.
Why was Mitch I understand getting rid of Jimmy Buss.
They were attached at the hip, Tom.
And
that's just the way it was going to go down. They were attached at the hip, according to the remember, Magic Johnson is not the owner of the team.
That's right.
Okay? There is an owner. And she has her ideas, and she's had to sit by for 4 years as her brother, in some ways, publicly humiliated her by even wanting to take over the team when he had done nothing to earn the team, nothing.
Right.
Except be male. That's it.
Right.
He was a male child. That's it.
Right.
Jeannie Buss has been in the offices every day for 40 years. Jeannie Buss, not Jimmy Buss. So, you know, Magic Johnson is director of basketball operations.
Did he get along? Did he get along with Mitch? Were they friends? I don't know.
Put it this way. I Magic referred to Mitch to me recently as my man Mitch.
Well, not now.
So, well, Tony, yep, I mean, right. Again, right. You know, if Magic was making that call, would he have found a way to keep Mitch even if it wasn't in that position? Or we don't know that. I don't even know that. And I've talked to Magic about this, you know, for a month. I don't know that. Maybe other people who are closer to the situation, the team, the day-to-day team would know that. But Jeannie, you know, Tony, Jeannie, this wasn't even supposed to happen before May 1st. And then all of it I'm talking about, the you know, people cleaning out stuff. But, you know, developments, you know, Ramona Shelburne has reported, you know, exhaustively on this. I mean, stuff happened over that All-Star time a few days before and during the break and all of that that changed the timetable on it. So Mitch,
yeah,
got deep 6'2".
It's great to see, by the way, that Boogie Cousins has changed his entire personality. It's great to see he doesn't get any technical fouls, and he's not going to be a problem. He's not going to be uncoachable. Oh, wait.
Well, nobody said he's not going to get any technical fouls. If he said he wasn't going to get any technical fouls, you'd have to be a fool.
He's getting them left and right.
He's gotten one with them. He's gotten one.
No, I think he's gotten two because he's sitting out.
But he already had 17.
Oh, okay.
The 18th foul got him the second suspension. But this is what they're going to have to live with. And I tell you something else. You could go a little bit closer to home. John Wall's got 11 or 12 of these, right?
I didn't know John Wall had a lot of technical
fouls. John Wall's got 11 or 12 technical fouls. Again, 16 gets you bounced. So, you know, the Wizards are in a situation right now. And the one he got last night was just, he got bumped, clearly bumped, going to the basket on a call that should have been made. And they didn't call it. And John doesn't go like Boogie Cousins. He doesn't go crazy. But he nonetheless got the tech. And so with the Wizards in a position to challenge to get to the Eastern Conference Final, all these things begin to matter. And so we don't have to go Boogie Cousins headhunting in New Orleans. We got a situation that matters to a lot more people right here with John Wall, who is having a great season, and that team is having a great run.
Yeah, not
and
the
they
last
can't
two.
Afford to, not the last two. And
not
they got,
since the All-Star.
And by the way, Tuesday night, Golden State here.
And they're not going to win that game.
I'm not going there. Because I think part of the – I looked at the schedule, and I thought they're going to lose to Utah because that's the setup game. You know, people can say their minds aren't looking ahead for a game if they want. Everybody knows who – you know, I picked up my own cell phone in L.A. over the weekend, and here's what I hear from an 8-year-old. So, Dad, what are we doing Tuesday night? And I said, you're doing homework Tuesday night. And he said, Dad, my homework's done by 6. What are we doing Tuesday night? And I'm now acting as if I don't know what is going on Tuesday night. If an 8-year-old knows what's going on Tuesday night, you better believe everybody on that team does.
So you're $350 poorer.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I'll see you later.
I've been purchased.
See you later.
All right, though.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we will take a break. We will come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Are your ears bored when you're finished with my show each day? Are you looking for something new to listen to during your daily commute or workout? It's time to call an Audible. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Users can sign up as an Audible listener, which gives them book credits each month for a low monthly fee. Customers download their choices and can access them on their iPhone, Android device, Kindle, iPod, or other MP3 player. This might surprise some of you, but when I drive for more than a few hours, and I'm not counting, I like to listen to nonfiction. What? I'm smart, not dumb. Previously, though, I'd often stop in the middle of one because the CDs would start rolling around the backseat of the car and I would lose one. No matter what genre of books you read, Audible has it. Classics, a nod to the English majors, memorize a few quotes and show just how smart you are. History, romance, maybe you'll find it. Mysteries, thrillers, sci-fi and fantasy, self-development, and kids, young adult categories. Hey, we're not judging. Nobody has to know what you're listening to but you. Now I'm able to walk with my dog and listen to my favorite books, and you can too, if only Chessie would discuss each chapter with me with an eye towards language, tone, and structure. You can't make more time, but you can make the most of it. Turn your routine into something more with a free trial at Audible. Go to audible.com/Tony to start now.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Stephanie Bartles. This is called Harper's Tune. She wrote the song a couple of years ago about her then unborn child.
We have heard this before.
We have heard this before.
Beautiful, beautiful song.
Our uncle Mark Bethauser recorded this. Russ Gray does some percussion, and Mark does the guitars and the bass.
Sweet baby girl.
It's a beautiful song.
Don't close your eyes.
Really is.
It might be one of the loveliest songs we've actually received, and we've received a number of wonderful songs.
Michael? If people want to send us music that we can use on this show, how do they do it?
They can send it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com. And for all those who are taking naps at the end of the podcast, Harper's Tune might actually help you fall asleep.
That's a good idea.
Beautiful.
And if anybody, I haven't mentioned this in a week, if anybody wanted to buy some of the gear that we're selling,
go to that micro site, shop.tonykornheiser.com.
Wonderful. Nigel has news for us today.
Thank you. Yes, indeed, Mr. Tony. First of all, I'd like to say congratulations to the Washington Wizards for their win over the Utah Jazz.
They didn't win.
Easy there, Warren.
Oh, sorry, I've got the wrong envelope. They lose yesterday to the Jazz, 102-92.
The Wizards are now 0-2 out of the break.
We blame Adam Silver?
They lost at Philly, and then they lost at home to Utah. Now, you heard Wilbon say earlier in the show that that's sort of a scheduled loss because they're looking forward to Golden State.
If you hadn't lost to Philly first.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
If you beat Philly, I'll give you that.
Philly Utah, with no Joel Embiid, by the way. Yeah. I mean, he's still not playing.
Right,
so
right.
It's not like they had their that's full a bad compliment.
Loss. Yeah. No, that's a bad loss. Utah is 37-22.
Yeah, they're good.
You can't name their starters. You can't name their coach.
They got the guy
you
from Butler.
You can't name their starters.
The guy from Butler. That's the only guy I know, Gordon Hayward.
Can't name
and
anybody.
Quinn Snyder is the coach.
You would. Most people don't know this. Utah is an unknown good team. They're 37-22. They've got a guy playing in the middle named Rudy Gobert, who has, I think, the best nickname in the NBA,
Stifle Tower.
It is he's
brilliant.
French.
It's brilliant.
The Stifle Tower. And yesterday he had a nice day. He had 4 blocks and 20 rebounds.
Huh.
4 blocks and 20 rebounds. And by the way, not, and I know, see, there are people out there who write me email and they tell me how great the Wizards are. And they, you know, they delight in taking a red hot poker and sticking it in my eye.
I'm right.
About how the Wizards are going to win 50 games, $10 that the Wizards win 50. Could you look up their record right now?
The Washington Wizards, 34-22.
34-22. So to win 50, they have to win 16 out of how many?
They would have, well, they've played 56, so they have, what, 22? They'd have to go
16 and 10.
16
26 left. Yeah. 16 and 10.
16 and 10.
And they may do that. But, I mean, when people delight in making fun of others or making fun of me, I would just point out that now the Wizards have lost 2 games in a row right out of the break.
Remember that time I told you that thing and I was right about it?
And Otto Porter and Marcin Gortat last night had 6 points each and combined to shoot 6 of 18. Now, Otto Porter's had a great year. I think he's leading the league in threes because I don't think Kyle Korver has the amount. Kyle Korver is killing him, but doesn't have the amount necessary to be leading the league. Not to take anything away from Porter, but the people who delight in the fact that they think they know more than everybody else, you know, I remember you. I got you.
You know how many people come up to me and say, I told you about Trump. It's literally every. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So anyway.
Should be pointed out, Jazz coach Quinn Snyder in the run-up to this game did refer to Beal and Wall as the best backcourt in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Best he's seen.
Have they played the Warriors?
I talked to Gary Williams last night, and we'll talk about this later because we had our
Wilbonian-like name drop. Right
we had our big food.
We had
a big food tasting last night that I'll talk about. And Gary said, now he didn't say that, but he said, You give me Wall and Beal every day, I'm really happy.
I'll go
play with them.
Sure.
I'll play with them in a backcourt anytime, anywhere.
Beal had 40 against the Sixers.
Beal had zero points last night in the first half and finished with 22.
Wall, one turnover short of a triple-double.
So, yeah, okay.
I don't think that's...
go ahead.
Speaking of Gary Williams...
I mean, I get angry.
Speaking of Gary Williams...
So do you think... I'm sorry, Nige. Do you think they could give the Warriors a run here, or is it a bad time because they've lost two in a row,
Time? I think that much like as well as they played and they should have actually beaten Cleveland and they needed the LeBron miracle thing to go to overtime, I think they could have that kind of game again. I think they get up for those games because they are, in their heads, no one Takes them seriously.
They were down 24. I'm not sure if it was in the fourth quarter, but certainly in the late third, and did cut it to 5.
Yeah,
with like a minute and a half left, so they can turn it on.
They're good. I don't want to be the subject of your email chain. Okay, go ahead.
Did someone mention Gary Williams?
Yes, I did.
Speaking of Gary Williams,
yes,
he and the rest of the 2002 National Championship Maryland Terrapins team was honored yesterday.
2 days ago.
Oh, it was 2 days ago. I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Saturday.
At halftime.
When Maryland played
Iowa. That's a bad loss.
Unfortunately, Maryland did not inspire them. Number 24, then ranked number 24.
That's a bad loss.
Loses to them 83-69.
They got beat.
Yeah.
They got beat. They got beat at their own game because they were trying a lot of threes, and Iowa made a lot of threes. And Iowa is a marginal Big Ten team, middle of the pack Big Ten team.
500 team.
And this is at Maryland. And Maryland is picking a bad time to start losing games.
Mm-hmm.
They were really hotter at the beginning of the season than they are now. They've lost
games. Not that we really know anything, but where would you put them as a seed right now for the tournament?
I think they'll be a 4 or 5, depending on how they do.
There's no 4 or
no
5?
Way. I think they'll be like an 8.
An 8?
7?
I think they're teetering right now. 6, 7?
Really? I mean, it depends what if when they do what the ACC finish? Tournament. They go out in the first game
Big
they play.
Ten.
Big Ten, rather. Yeah. Sorry.
What
they
if
go in the first game
what
they
What if
play,
they go to the semifinals of the tournament?
Then they'll be a
6-5.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, they're not a top 25 team now. They won't be when the rankings come out.
Let me tell you, it's not a top 25 team.
No, don't do it.
Yeah, here we
probably
go.
Best to just...
I saw that. Tough 1-point loss to Maine.
Yeah.
Oh. Binghamton, not a top 25 team. Not a top 325 team. Georgetown has lost to 2 ghost programs in a row.
St. John's.
I appreciated your text.
Yeah.
Following the Georgetown loss.
What did the text say?
I can read the it was basically like,
remember
you
when
guys
I told you?
Yeah, that's basically what it was.
That was a summary. It was, when you lose back-to-back to the ghost programs, DePaul and St. John's, you have to wonder who renew their season tickets.
This is true.
That is a jeopardy for John Thompson III.
If the business collapses,
of your one revenue sport collapses, because we have no football, it's the only sport that makes money.
There's nobody going to these games in a big 7, city arena.
People. 7, and there's nobody going.
That student section is filled every game.
I appreciate your sarcasm, Michael. they have shut down part of the student section because they can't get enough. They're tarping over it.
Yeah.
A lot of extended vacations for those kids.
They could put in a swimming
semesters
pool.
Semesters at sea.
They could put in a bar area or a swimming pool like a lot of
people. I know we don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but for people
and he should not
who
be
send
fired.
To me on Twitter and blah, blah, he will not be fired.
He's a good man.
Yes.
He's a very good man.
A good mentor.
He's good.
But
he's good for the school. All right.
But not a good basketball
coach. I know you mentioned this with Wilbon earlier. Is there anything else you want to say about Ricky Fowler's win at the Honda Classic?
He almost blew it. I mean, Mike was talking about hitting in the water late. I was talking about hitting in the water early. At one point, he was +3 on 3 different holes within the first 7, Michael, within the first 7?
Yeah, and within
and
the first 7.
I thought he was going to blow it. And the reason I thought he was going to blow the lead is because Ricky Fowler had 4 times in his life gone into a 4th and final round up and lost all 4. And nobody made a big run at him. Nobody really did.
So the golf course makes it impossible for somebody a few shots behind him to make
tough
a run.
Course.
It's one of these
windy,
sneaky, hard golf courses on tour. You look at some of the shots that went in the water, it's because you're trying to play the wind a certain way. And you look at the rough just off the fairway, which has been overseeded. So it's a lot thicker and taller than you'd expect to see this time of year in Florida. For some reason, they want to make this late winter event a minor major, so it has 2 of the 3 hardest hole stretches.
It's on the PGA property.
Right, but you have 2 of the 3 hardest hole stretches, so you're seeing, I guess people like this, you're seeing pros dunk ball after ball in 15 and 17, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'd say the bigger thing is you look at the trend of young golfers winning. Ricky is still cataloged as one of the younger golfers, though I think he's 28, and you look at who's won with Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Hideki Matsuyama, Jon Rahm, and you're thinking this could be a great year for golf if these people continue to contend. This could be a return for Ricky to 2 seasons ago where he had a couple of top 3 finishes in the majors, but we'll have to see how he does in the big tournaments.
Ricky Fowler, by the way, relative to everybody else, sneaky small.
I think he's 5'10".
He's not a big kid.
He can hit it, though, can he?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not dependent on how big
he is. I mean, he's
are,
like Rory, who's not very tall. Rory kills it.
But he's jacked up, though.
You get get Rory used to seeing Dustin trimmer. Johnson, who's like 6'6".
Michael and I talked about this off there, but I was, you know, Rory played with Trump last weekend in Florida, and there's a picture of Rory and Trump and a few other guys, and he's by far the littlest of these guys.
Yes.
Now, Trump is big.
6'2", 6'3".
Rory looks jacked, though, but he's little.
Yeah.
And he's not, is he?
Ricky
he's
Fowler
5'10"?
Is not jacked. I think he's about 5'10", 5'9", 5'10". I think he's a little
like
bigger than Ricky Fowler.
I would say
a little, but so Ricky Trump today has the pro member at Seminole, so we want to see how he does in that, which a lot of people refer to as the first major of the year.
Yeah,
Rory's Seminole's program, height, weight, 5'9", 161.
Okay.
I mean, he's that's not
tie him in a knot.
Seminole, the great Sam Reeves and the great Jack Vardaman, members at Seminole.
There you
and
go.
The great Dr. Chet Maxson, member at Seminole. Michael and I have played Seminole.
It's nice. Gary Braun and Chris Lith are not currently members of
right.
Seminole.
No.
So. Melancholy Happy Trails on a couple of notes. One from Hollywood. Bill Paxton, actor.
Yeah what?
Sort of unfamiliar.
You'd remember him from Titanic, Apollo 13.
No, he means unfamiliar with what happened, right?
Oh, no. I knew he was an actor. I would not have been able to pick him out of a crowd.
He was a big sign. He was the only guy who was killed by a Terminator, a Predator, and an alien. He holds that distinction.
That's
Twister.
That's
like the Apollo 13.
Exactly. And Big Love, I think, was his big TV.
I never watched it.
Age 61, complications after heart surgery is what's being reported.
After heart surgery?
Yes.
Okay, I had just seen surgery, which made me nervous.
And Judge Wapner passed away at the age of 97.
Judge Wapner, so
from the
I
People's
never...
Court. For those that didn't know, from the
I
People's
never
Court.
Watched People's Court. I am familiar with everything that Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man says about time 15 minutes,
to Wapner
and all of that. Mm. I watch Hot Bench. So I'm unfamiliar with... I knew the name... But he's 97.
Yeah, he had a good run.
Fantastic. Good for him.
Question about Bill Paxton.
Oh, no.
While he was mentioned by Jennifer Aniston before the in memoriam section of the Oscars last night, he was not included in it. Now, I know a little bit of something about that industry.
And stuff.
Now, you can edit him in a day.
Yeah.
Or is that by, like, calendar year? Like, is it only people who died in 2016?
That's a good question.
Carrie Fisher was in it. Was that this year or last year?
That was
because I was really surprised he wasn't in it. It's not that hard.
I think died right before.
I think it's like the NFL. They start their year starts the day of the Oscars.
Okay, so he would be in next year.
No, I think if they mentioned
it would have been in this.
It should have been in this year's. I think if you pass away leading up to the Oscars,
I was surprised. I mean, I figured they would do some late.
It's not tough, right?
Looking for a job.
Nah, I mean,
was Wapner in it?
Hollywood's not my thing.
The in memoriam section.
Wapner's TV.
Wapner was not.
What? I watched a lot of
People's
Court.
Who did World War II that, by the way?
Judge Wapner.
Yeah, fought in the Pacific.
Really?
Wonderful. Yeah. Bronstar. Bronstar and a Purple Heart.
Fantastic.
97, man. Yeah. That's a
It's like Judge
big
Judy.
Number.
It's a big run.
Similar resume.
I wonder if he made the kind of money that Judge Judy made.
No.
No way.
But nobody made.
He paid the road forever. He was on forever, which means he probably didn't make it.
Giancarlo Stanton doesn't make the kind of money.
No, Judge Judy.
Judge Judy makes over
40. Isn't she making like $40, $50 million a year?
Over 40.
Yeah. You want to be Supreme Court Justice?
LeBron doesn't make that.
No.
All right. Yeah. Anything else, or are we
no,
good?
That's it.
Great. So we will get out of here now. I probably have another read to do.
Yes.
And then when we come back, we will do Old Guy, and we're going to talk about the yesterday's food tasting that Michael and I
eye-opening.
Went to. And it was?
Just to see the personalities at play.
Well, you'll have to talk about that.
Yes, indeed.
It didn't strike me as anything. And then we're going to talk about
Tone.
The White House Correspondents' Dinner. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the MeUndies read. Elevate your underwear game to the next level with MeUndies. You perfected your wardrobe, but what about the stuff not everybody gets to see? If you've been settling for store-bought underwear 5-packs, I have something that will change your life for the better, and that is MeUndies. What is the first thing you put on and the last thing you take off? It's your underwear. Maybe your most important piece of clothing. Make it the best it can be with MeUndies. Seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door. They're designed in Los Angeles. They are made from a sustainably sourced micro-modal, a fabric 3 times softer than cotton. MeUndies softer than soft luxe undies come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns, so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style. Michael, what is the deal with the Valentine's Day undies? They are bold, right?
They are very bold.
And you have not taken pictures of them?
I try not to take pictures of my underpants to share with you.
Okay. Guess what? You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. And if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use the special URL, MeUndies.com/TonyK. Get 20% off your first pair. So go ahead and revamp your underwear drawer. You deserve it. Once again, that's MeUndies, MeUndies.com/TonyK. MeUndies.com/TonyK.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
We're picking this up in midstream for Old Guy today. This is Baby, It's You. The original version is the Shirelles. This is the greatest version of this song ever done. It's by a group called Smith. The lead singer, the girl lead singer, she's probably 60 to 65 years old. I don't even know her name. She hits notes. It's just great. Let me shut up. This is like the first time I heard this song, I went completely crazy in the car. I don't know how old I was, 30 or something like that. I have no idea when this song was done, this remake. But it's like, for me, the critical commentary area is the first time I heard Janis Joplin. And I went, whoa, that's really different. It's the ability, why do I like Into the Mystic so much? It's the ability to hit an impossible note and hold it longer than a human being should be able to hold it. So, I mean, that's it. Don't know this group, Smith. What's the girl's name? I don't know if she ever had another hit.
Gail McCormick and passed away last year at age 67.
I know the Smiths.
So, yes. B. Smiths is a restaurant.
No, the Smiths. Morrissey's group.
These are just called Smith, right?
This is just
Smith. Yeah. B. Smith is a restaurant.
It used to be in Union Station. Is it still?
I don't know. It started in New York on 8th Avenue in about 46th
Street. The one
in
Union Station was horrendous. So
the one in New York was a big hit. So anyway. Okay, so there's some things I want to talk about, but first I want to go to Chris because this is your job. Donald Trump, no longer the president-elect, the president indeed, has announced that he will not go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. There was a flurry of activity in the last month or so led by scolds. I mean, just pure and complete scolds saying we shouldn't even have this thing. We don't need to have this thing. Nobody should go to this thing, to which my answer would be, well, you don't have to go. But maybe somebody else would like to go. And then there was a group of people who were going to have alternative White House Correspondents' Dinner because they were assuming that Donald Trump was going to go and make remarks, and he hates the media. It's pretty obvious. And so now what happens? Now that he's not going to go, Chris, what happens?
The White House Correspondents Association, which is obviously best known for organizing this dinner, but it's a group that tries to protect the sort of the rights of the people covering the president in terms of what access they get to him. So they run this all year. There's a president, a guy named Jeff Mason, has said it will go on regardless. I don't know how much you change it, because the typical format, for people who aren't familiar with it, is the president of the United States comes out, gives a 15 to 20 minute joke. Jokes around. They're usually quite good.
It's written for him, and it's always very funny.
I'm going to tell you something. I've been about 7 or 8 of these things, and I was with them in the Obama years and the George W. Bush years, and unfailingly, the president was better than everybody else, and you should never try to follow him.
So, and then what follows always is a comedian. So it's been Wanda deadly. Sykes, it's been deadly. Seth Meyers. It's a hard act. It's
deadly.
The question that I wonder about, famous one is Colbert, who was awful, but was in the room. I would agree. We were both there. I didn't think it was terribly funny.
Nasty.
But I wasn't not laughing because I can't laugh at myself, which was the story that we couldn't laugh at ourselves.
No, he was nasty.
Anyway, usually a comedian follows. So I don't know. Are they just going to have the comedian? Or are they going to scrap that part of it? My guess is it will go on for one big reason, which is that every major advertiser comes to these things, and for the reason that the Masters will never be canceled,
right.
It just seems unlikely. There's a lot of money. Now, Bloomberg has canceled its after party. The New Yorker has canceled
Vanity
its party.
Well, maybe they'll reinstate it.
So I don't know, but there had been
Vanity
a bunch
of... Vanity Fair
yes, this
is
was
the
pre-Trump announcement. They had said they weren't doing it. There are people out there who regularly say it's too chummy. It's now Trump won't be there, so maybe it's not too chummy anymore. It will change. I'm interested to see how it changes. I don't think it means that the event won't happen. I'm almost sure it will happen, and they've said publicly it will happen. Trump, not until April.
Trump and Sean Spicer, I guess, have barred.
Spicy.
They barred CNN and the New York Times.
What
and,
they did is this something. It is a big yes. I think okay. It's a big problem. So it wasn't the on-camera briefing, but what the White House does occasionally is something called a gaggle, which is no cameras, but it is on the record. They basically said, instead of having a briefing today, we're going to have a gaggle. It's be in Sean Spicer's office. This is very traditional. That's not a break with tradition at all. But then they said to the
CNN,
Politico, CNN, New York Times, failing New York Times.
Failing New York Times said,
you can't come sad. In. And that, I know people are like, oh, who cares? It's just the media. Well, like, again, no. Even when you start restricting the independent media's access to the most powerful person in the world who you pay his salary. You, taxpayer, pay his salary. You know, down that road is, I'm not going to get, too big picture, but down that road is not a good thing. Free and independent media, you should be pro. The alternative doesn't usually work out that well for society. So,
this autocracy, is, not great.
Yeah. State-run media, it's not usually
not
your best way to keep the powerful in check.
No, that's all. Not good. You end up in an airport and somebody puts a liquid in your mouth. And
a little bit of VX9. VX9 on the hands.
By the way, I only saw from Trump the tweet that said he wasn't going to go. I hadn't heard that he hadn't been pressed for a reason. He just said, I'm not doing it.
You know what's interesting is, so Tone, were what you at the 2011 one, the Seth Meyers Obama one? Were you at the one that Seth Meyers did the thing?
No.
So this is one of the most uncomfortable experiences of my life. We sat at the table. He sat directly in front of me.
Trump
we were at two Trump. We were at two separate tables. He was brought by Lally Weymouth, which at the time Newsweek and the Post were still together. And Seth Meyers,
I remember,
destroyed
took
him.
Shots at him, and he did not think they
destroyed
were funny.
Destroyed him, and it was so uncomfortable because everyone, including me, is laughing. I mean, it's funny, and everyone at his table, including Melania, is just and Lally are just stone-faced. Because, I mean, Seth Meyers, you should go back and watch. I mean, he destroys him because this is right around the birther talk. Many people have cited that as one of the reasons that Trump runs for president. That one of the motivating things of Trump's whole life is outside looking in. So the father is a developer in Brooklyn and Queens but never goes into Manhattan. And then Trump himself goes into Manhattan, but the old rich never accept Trump in their club, so he makes his own clubs.
Yes, he does.
And he goes to Washington, and they laugh at him. And he says, I will show you.
He seems to have made good on that.
That is one of the motivating factors of it. So I don't know if that's a piece
so
of
it. So that wasn't the year
one.
That Obama went after him.
That is the year Obama went after him. Same
well
year.
As,
yes, they both go after him. And that's the last one he went to. So there is some theory of that. Okay. He says, why should I help you guys sell tickets to something that was...
And he, of course, was a White House correspondent for who back then?
Well, Michael Kelly, the late Michael Kelly, started the trend of bringing famous people. Fawn Hall, who was Oliver North's secretary, bringing famous people. And then it's gotten out of control in the last decade.
PTI took me one year.
I've gone. Exactly. So it can't be good.
But the Kardashians have gone, and so it's become a little bit.
Yeah. But not the good Kardashians, like the second string Kardashians.
Kim was there one year.
Yeah.
So
The best part of it is always when people like Adrian Grenier say no, I don't take pictures.
What a tool he
well, now
was.
What are you doing now? Now you're on the Hallmark Channel. So how's that?
Remember,
looking
I tried to take a picture with you and you refused. Smash my camera.
It's my job to take that. And I threw a 20 at you.
20 on the ground.
Oh, you got to wait for me.
So we had our food tasting yesterday. We had our food tasting. By the way, trivia night tonight at Chad's. Still named
right.
Chad's.
7:30, right?
Chad, the name going
get
soon.
Get there at 7.
7:30, but you can get there a little bit early if you'd like.
Well, it takes – Shinebox is two words, so it takes more time to put that on a sign than Chad's.
So 7:30 trivia tonight at Chad's with the food now. And the food now is fine, but the food's going to be better. Michael, why don't you describe what happened last night?
Well, we've been working with a chef consultant, Matt Baker, who has visited Chad's over the last 6 weeks and has really got a feel for the place, what the history has been, and what he thinks it should be going forward. And he's created an updated menu that we tried yesterday. The focus really is going to be on good burgers. There'll be three or four named burgers. You can also have, you know, a chicken sandwich with the same toppings. You can make your own burger. And they want to make some entrees and have some specials throughout the week that are going to recognize that you have a very different clientele with families, with professionals that might want a really good special entree, like a nice pork chop, a nice piece of veal that is, you know, taking you into
once
the
a week will be that
the food special that you might expect at a restaurant downtown, but that's in a neighborhood setting that's comfortable, that's known, and it's, you know, unpretentious.
I'm going to tell you, I mean, because look, we are a bar. We are a bar with good bar food, and our food is going to be good. This food is good. So I know people are afraid, are you going to make a lot of changes? Changes we're going to make are for the better. Now, is there attrition as a result? There always is. Change, you know, I fear change. So I understand when people walk away and they don't like change. But the food is going to be very good. We had yesterday, we had a mac and cheese that was great. That's going to be one of the starters.
One of the starters to
great.
Share.
The mac and cheese was great. This veal, I know it's off-putting to hear, it's veal schnitzel. It was great. Mm. It was
served
just
with
great.
A warm German-style potato
salad. Really,
very good.
It was really, really good. The burgers were particularly good. I liked something that I never thought I would like, and I really liked it a lot, a lamb stew, which sort of like shepherd's pie, which I liked.
Served on polenta.
Yeah.
Which is, wait, on the burger, Michael tweeted a picture out of the burger, the one you like. The burger you like the best
Dawson
was...
The Dawson burger.
So it's a bacon cheeseburger with some nice bib lettuce, and it has its own special sauce that is
which
a little
is called
tangy.
An aioli.
It's like
like a mayonnaise.
I want
but
that.
Here's the thing: I insist on this, and I hope it's on the menu. What I'm going to say on the menu, you can put whatever you want, or ask to leave off whatever you can do. Whatever
build
you want.
Build your own burger. Type
you
situation.
Do whatever you want. Okay. Right. I mean, I don't want people to think that if they order this named burger, you have to go all in with it. You can go 60%.
Now, you going to have like a G8
the
summit
to
come up with the names for the burgers?
The buns were brioche.
Or was
no, that's already
the
been
burgers?
Done.
Okay, so that was easy.
Simple names to
or you
start.
Left it to Baker.
We're naming the drinks, the like cocktails, after all, every one of the owners will have a named drink.
You can guess what the socialite will be?
Yeah, the socialite is Cosmo. Okay. The socialite, by the way, comes back from Emerald Dunes yesterday, having won the pro member with Gene Sowers. Explain who Gene Sowers is, Michael. Oh, yo, he won the U.S., he won the pro, the senior pro.
Wow.
He won the senior pro
How
tournament.
About that?
And he was Alan's partner. So I said, Alan, did you bring a trophy so we could put the trophy in the restaurant? He went, what do you mean, no?
What do you get?
No.
Shop credit?
Did you get cash? What'd you get? Why don't you have a trophy?
Alan seemed very quiet for the first
hour.
Well, the
senior open.
And then what happened?
This year,
yes,
2016.
He's really good.
Well, then he started to do his Alan move, which is he gets up and he starts walking around to corners of the restaurant. So we're at
a
bar
still?
In Virginia that is run by the Tin Shop Group. So this is Jeff Driscoll Dawson and Peter Bain. And it's empty. It's a Sunday afternoon. And Alan just gets up and starts walking. You follow him. What? Alan's brother Ronnie has to go watch golf. And we're stuck at our table trying to figure out what we think about the food.
I wrote my comments down. There were some things I didn't like, and there were some things I liked.
How about the chicken tenders?
I thought the chicken tenders were terrific. I'm not a sauce person. I don't like to dip things in sauce.
Right.
But I thought the chicken tenders themselves were terrific. I was just
mutton. Did you guys?
We had no mutton. We had lamb stew. Hadn't yet grown into mutton, and I liked it. And it was some
did you?
Stuff
are you guys
like.
Doing liver and onions?
We're not
my suggestion.
We're not because I would because I like liver.
And
onions.
Here's a thought.
I do.
You know how like if you go to a seafood restaurant, you look over at the lobster tank and you're like, oh, I'd like that lobster.
Mm. Yes.
Will you do that with like if somebody wants a steak? You're like, I want that cow. You
we pick could
your,
do that.
Your
slaughtered
own cow
live on premises.
Sheep. Just pick your sheep.
Right, I want that sheep.
Did you like the double cut brined pork chop?
I thought it was very, very good, except, and there's a but here, I felt that the sauce was too much. A little overpowering because I'm not.
Oh, you're not a sauce person.
I'm really not. I don't do that. Like when I judge ribs, I don't want sauce.
You're a dry
rib.
So
for me, I would order that pork chop anytime it was on the menu, but I would say, could you put that stuff on the side? Could you put it on the side? Because it was just, you know, it's overpowering for me.
How about the fish sandwich?
Like the fish sandwich a lot.
I thought that was the biggest surprise hit
broiled,
that I had.
Broiled,
like
fried.
This is a lightly fried piece of cod.
Like the fish
sandwich.
I like the fish sandwich. So
sounds good.
We're
you get
going
tartar
to have
or something or no?
You can.
With tartar sauce.
So without holding you to specifics, when are we anticipating the new menu?
I don't know.
I'm guessing middle of April.
I was hoping it would be before that. I was hoping it'd be like no later than April. It's only the end of February. You think it'll take that long?
I think we want the food to come in right around after the studio opens up, and I'm hoping we're in there beginning of April for the studio.
So that's
got to get that slaughterhouse window. People love to see their meat slaughtered in front of them.
I did that. I was a butcher at Fuddruckers back when they had the open window, so you could see us. They would bring quarters. I guess they were quarters of beef, and we'd bring them in there Rocky style, throw them up on the hook, and cut them down. And
really?
I don't understand why people wanted to see us butcher cows and grind meat, but they did that all at Fuddruckers. They freshly cut the steaks.
That's disgusting.
Let me tell you something.
It's not disgusting.
One of the most.
Yeah, I don't want to know about how it goes.
I don't want to see how the sausage is made.
One of the most famous, almost iconic fronts of a steakhouse in Manhattan for 50 years was Gallagher's 52 on 52nd Street. And all of those steaks would hang in the window, and you would see people pull one out
and send it
back to be cooked right then and there. And this was you didn't have to worry about window treatment. It was meat, baby. It was right out there. Gallagher's 52.
Have you thought about Slaughterhouse as a name for the?
No, because it's Kurt Vonnegut.
It's vaguely threatening.
It's Kurt Vonnegut.
I should point out the Fuddruckers where I did that. Then over the course of I was in college at the time. It was just over the course of a summer. By that fall, had replaced the window with thick block glass, so you could actually not see in there. So I think it's one of those thought
Gallagher's
it was a good idea 52. At the time, but
that's interesting. That's a big deal. All right, we'll get out of here, and we will end up with email and jingles when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
How much he loves his automobile. His enemies, he pounds like veal. He's interested in your lunchtime meal. Still thinks an iPod's a big deal. Except for Abby and Howard, you know. There's no particular point to the show. The end of the show is an email report. Plus new old songs for you, old sport. It's time to read what some of us write. Yes, on our bike, our wardrobe is white. Ultimately, all of us littles know there's no particular point to the show.
John Fitzpatrick, Arlington, Virginia. He's channeling his inner Chuck Berry, which is great. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Michael Wilbon for coming on with us today. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, Harry's Razors, Audible.com Books, and MeUndies. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show, wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Wyatt in Omaha, Nebraska. Can you imagine the day that one of the writers at the Hallmark Channel goes out on a limb and suggests a change to spice things up, such as maybe the protagonist goes back to the big city, lets the local small business fail, chooses the wrong but filthy rich partner, and kicks a baby on the way to the private jet? I bet that writer would be fired immediately, only to end up back at their small hometown and fall in love with the one that got away, all while saving the local business that makes actual sap. The end. Alberto Bianchetti from Baldwinsville, New York, which I think is in upstate New York. The podcast is my regular accompaniment on my noon walk to get lunch, and I had a David Aldridge-like moment earlier this month. While listening to another Hallmark Channel rant, I ran across a film crew in downtown Syracuse, so it is upstate, that you guessed it was using our snowy streets to film a Christmas movie for the Hallmark Channel. Because resistance is the sentiment of the moment, I immediately thought about protesting with a placard. What would it say? Maybe not my channel or no remote, no peace. Or perhaps even something a little more little-centric like I'm with the OPN, but alas, I was hungry and my slices were getting cold. Thank you for creating something I enjoy. P.S. There is nothing better than beating Georgetown, but second best may be losing to them and still making the tournament while they continue their descent into the ranks of ghost programs. Edith Saliza.
One thing about Syracuse? You'll always be in Syracuse.
Yes. From sure. Andrew Vogler.
Chin-strap beard type capital of the universe.
Andrew Vogel, Spokane, Washington, who writes, at failing Tony Kornheiser Show, continues to make hateful, biased comments about Hallmark, cites unnamed movies, jealous of Hallmark's success, #sad. From Tom Duke in Bethesda, Maryland. Hi, old sport. I was moved by Friday's show. Binghamton's English department must be enshrining you and casting your bust. Joyce's Dublin disappeared into distant memory as Kornheiser's Washington, D.C. enthralled the literati and the littles. Tony Ulysses travels in the quad on an epic journey with not just directions, not just characters, not just workermen, but paving, the symbols, the metaphors. Homer, Joyce, make room. Tony is in the house. It's very, very nice. From DJ Marasco in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Why can't Matthew McConaughey's Lincoln turn left? Because it can only go, all right, all right, all right.
All right, yeah. All right,
from all right. Spence in Edgewood, Kentucky. You asked Friday what Lincoln was trying to do with those dopey ads using Matthew McConaughey. They have increased sales every year since he started doing these ads. They were coming off, a three-decade low in sales. In addition, brand awareness has risen by 7%. Dopey, maybe, but old Matt and Lincoln are both back for more cash this year.
The I one where he sits in the back seat and just laughs is so it? Weird.
What is it? Very odd. Teresa LaHaye in Springfield, Missouri. Well, by now, it's its tale as old as time, the David Aldridge moment. So on Friday evening, we're prepping our spare bedroom for paint and listening to MSNBC. On Chuck Todd's Meet the Press Daily Show is Mr. Blue Glasses himself, Chris Saliza. I smile and sigh, and my sweetie asks, do you know him? Later on, as we're cleaning up, Howard Fineman shows up on Hardball, the classics, I whispered. I smile and I stop to watch. But then as I'm washing the paint off my hands, I hear Chris Matthews interviewing Ann Hornaday. I run from the kitchen to the TV shouting, everyone say it with me, I know her. It made me so proud and happy to see the beautiful Ann on my television. But then my partner just shook his head and mumbled that podcast again. The Mr. Tony trifecta. It was the best day. It was the best day. It's always such a good thing. Brandon S. Bowker, singer-songwriter, Lexington, Kentucky. A couple of weeks ago, I was playing a show at a small local brewery. My opening tune brought generous applause from the house and an excited La Cheeserie from a mustachioed gentleman to my right. This was from fellow Lexington little Todd Takei, or Take It. I don't know how to put it. Todd Takei, I think.
Yes.
He'd clearly rehearsed his technique. I threw him a Mr. Tony salute and joined Todd and his wife, Michelle, after my set to talk brews, bourbon, and Mr. Tony. I'm no Steve Sands, but I have to admit, having the occasional exuberant La Cheeserie hurled at you feels pretty great. This is a long one. I can't get to all of this today, but it's from Melbourne. I'll get to it tomorrow.
Melbourne, Florida?
No, Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, Australia.
Includes pictures of Luke in Australia, so we'll get to that tomorrow. Brian in Hilo in Hawaii. Did you send a Cliffy out to check for hot gravel in your tire wells? No, they paved it. It was fine. And from Sean Johnson in La Plata, predictable to everyone, even Chuck Bell, and true to form, a tornado did touch down in La Plata during the storm on Saturday. Some property damage, but nobody was injured. Because as we see all the time in the bumper stickers, La Plata, what is it, shaken, not stirred, or something like that? Something like that. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
This book is devastating.
is lullaby. Strong-hearted women, they can't disguise the antidote behind their demise. I hope you run, I hope you try to fly. I hope you run to touch the sky. Your dreams die. I hope you love but never fall for the lie. Sweet gift of mine, a blessing for life. You taught me unconditional love and eternal sunrise. You brought me moon on my darkest night. And I hope that I can show you this beautiful life.
Dreams die. I hope you love, but never fall for the lies. My